The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All things New Orleans Saints.
This is Who Dat Discussion.
Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat said they gon' be them Saints?
Powered by Overtime Media.
Hello and welcome back into a game day edition here at the Who Dat Discussion. I'm Andrew Galata, as always, and this is going to be a special episode as we're going to preview the 2006 Rebirth game. Now, we're also going to have another episode. So this is going to be like episode 152A, and then we're going to have a 152B where we discuss the 2020 Saints. But this is really going to be about the preview of the Saints-Falcons game 2006 Week 3. And I just find this team extremely interesting because, I mean, around this time was when I really became a Saints fan. And just, I mean, because you could see, and it was really, for me, it started obviously with Drew Brees, as many Saints fans that became a fan around the time that I became a fan. It was Drew Brees, was that offense. And this is like when I first started. So it's really, really interesting to look at. Because, like, yeah, I definitely remember Marcus Colston, like, in his prime. You remember Reggie Bush. Like, I have vivid memories of them in the prime. Not as much in the 06 season. I have more memories about Drew Brees in that season. But still, everybody. It's just extremely interesting to see these guys younger and, like, because, I mean, when I really became like a fanatic, I mean, because at this point I was really young. I mean, so when I really became that fanatic around like 11 or 12 years old, then I started really knowing these players, and they were obviously in their prime, which is just extremely interesting to now see them as they're young. I just find that to be very, very interesting. But this 2006 Saints team is just a very interesting team, and I wasn't really a fan before this, so you can't get the before and after with me. You may want to go to someone else to do that, but this team, and what I obviously learned after, I mean, you start 3-13 going in from last year and the whole Katrina year, and that's really tough. Like, that's a really tough season. Saints completely, I mean, rejuvenized the team, which is another thing, really tough. You got to give Mickey Loomis a lot of credit. That's why he's still here 14 years later. You got to give Sean Payton a lot of credit. Drew Brees, a lot of credit. And obviously this 06 team is a lot different than the 2020 team or even the 2010 team of the Super Bowl year. A lot different. They got it done in different ways, but I just found it really interesting. But for them to come up 3-13 to ending up going to the conference championship, it's a big improvement, and this really laid the groundwork for the 2009 Super Bowl. So I just found that really interesting, because you have a lot of guys on this team. Just, it was a really fun team to watch. Young. Ryan, do you know what this team reminds me of? A lot of that 2017 Saints team. This team went 10-6, they went 11-5. Just a very young team. Yeah, they made mistakes, but they were a really fun, rejuvenized team and just really fun to watch. So I found that very, very interesting. I mean, this team ended up getting a bye, which is just even more interesting. They didn't have to play in wildcard weekend at 10-6. I mean, I wish that was the same for the 2019 Saints. But anyway, Saints were coming into this game 2-0. I mean, first time they've won back-to-back road games to start the season in franchise history, which was really big. You go to Lambeau in Week 2 and win, that's huge. And Lambeau, they weren't coming off a good season themselves back in 2005, but still, you win at Lambeau, that's very, very big. And that was in Mike McCarthy's first season, so that was a very interesting game. Saints came back from 13-0, as I think we're just going to get right into our notes. So Saints came back from 13-0, and that was a big win for them. And it definitely, I mean, you saw Drew Brees really come alive with over 350 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. Colston was having a really nice start to the season as a surprise 7th-round pick. But you also have Joe Horn, 5 catches, 88 yards. He had a very good year. Devery Henderson had 51 yards and a touchdown in that Green Bay game, which I just thought was really interesting. You saw Reggie Bush had 15 catches over the first 2 games. You're going to obviously see him in this one as a rookie. And he was a crazy player, and I mean, the stuff that he was able to do, I mean, people call him a bust. I definitely don't think that. But, you know, the stuff that he was able to do, especially between, like, 2006 and, like, 2010, 2011 for the Saints, crazy stuff. Or 2010, I really should say. Some amazing stuff for the Saints, and I thought he did a really good job there. First game was more of a grinded out game. They won 19-14 against the Browns. Looking at Breeze, I mean, 270 yards. They really weren't like, you know, it was more of a defensive game. They got three turnovers, which is really nice. And to me, the Saints team, you saw them, the defense was also pretty solid as well. It wasn't just a high-flying offense. The defense was also really, really good. So to me, that was really interesting in that week one game because you were able to get sacks. I mean, Will Smith had two sacks in the first two games of that season, so that was obviously really big there. And then also you're looking at guys, Scott Fujita had a pick. I mean, just all these guys, you know, we all remember them. Roman Harper had a sack. Just a very good job. Josh Bullock's had a pick. So, again, the Saints were coming in really strong into this game, and it just they looked like a different team. But still, this Falcons team also looked really good. This Falcons team also coming in at 2-0 and led by Michael Vick and a very good secondary that was playing very well at the time. You had D'Angelo Hall was playing outstanding, had two picks in the game before. They were really coming in with a lot of momentum. They beat two division opponents to start the year with Carolina and the Bucks, and they were just going to go for that sweep to start the year. So that was obviously going to be huge for them. And this was something, I mean, they're coming in high-flying with Vic, high-flying with that secondary. And it was going to be interesting because this was the first time that Michael Vick really got supplanted as the best quarterback in the division by Drew Brees. And to me, that's very interesting. I mean, Vic, obviously, very high-flying. He was top 10 in rushing yards at the time as well. Pretty good passer. He was the showtime of that division. And Drew Brees came in here and said, I'm going to take that. So I thought that was really interesting, and that's going to be one of our storylines. But to me, I mean, this Falcons team was a good team. And it was, I mean, the Saints were not even favored in this game. They were underdogs by 4 points. Very, very interesting, I thought, as well. So to me, it just shows that the Saints were definitely that surprise team. A lot of young guys that weren't supposed to make impacts did. You had Colston, had a good start to the season. Devery Henderson had a good start to the season. Reggie Bush, who was obviously supposed to make an impact, had a good start to the season. Drew Brees was really starting to come into his own and supplanted himself in New Orleans. It was a very interesting time in the Saints' history and a time of a lot of hope for sure. So before we get into our storylines of this game, we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Who Dat Discussion Podcast.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back into the Who Dat Discussion. So we're going to continue our preview of the 2006 Rebirth game that will be airing Monday tonight on ESPN. And now we're going to get into the storylines of the game. And we're going to start off with the most important storyline here. As this is the Rebirth of the Dome, I mean, this game means so much to New Orleans. It still does 14 years later. And it's just so interesting how a football team can galvanize a city like the Saints have. And that's the most true thing that I think I'll say on this podcast here is the Saints are New Orleans. And when I was down there and I saw the Saints when Breeze broke the record a few years ago, I saw that so much. And it's like breathtaking coming from another place. And just, I mean, Saints fans probably don't even know the differences really because all they've been seeing it their whole life. But the Saints are the city. And it's just so interesting how a sports team can really change the mood from the city. And they helped, New Orleans move on here from Hurricane Katrina, which was obviously a huge, disaster, natural disaster that, I mean, obviously a lot of people got affected. Everyone got affected in that city, but even more people got affected. And in bigger ways, some lost their houses, some, you guys know. I don't need to get into that. But the Saints helped heal that. I mean, getting that game ready for September 25th, you got to give these guys a lot of credit. I mean, they're coming in here a year. The Superdome was destroyed. They basically rebuilt the stadium in a year. When do you hear that anywhere else? I mean, that to me, that was the most crazy. When I watched the documentary back in 2016 when they put it out, the 10-year anniversary, they got the stadium ready in a year. That was to even play that game was a major feat. And to me, that's just, you guys, I mean, that's crazy in my mind. And I can't even get words out about it. It's just very interesting. And to come back in this game, the Saints are 2-0, they're rocking. And to play this game against the Falcons hate week, they're the rivals, it was go time. Saints weren't losing this game, and you'll all see tonight what happens. But to me, that's it's the biggest storyline, I would say, not only that 2006 season, but to me, it's one of the biggest storylines of the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era. And it was the starting point of it. So, that's really what I got to say about that. I mean, it showed that New Orleans is going to heal. And yes, they've had tremendous loss in that period, in the period before, and hardship, and the natural disaster hit hard. But New Orleans was going to win. And I could see why they're playing this game now, because it's the same type of themes. And it's going to give, I think, everybody a reminder that watches this game, because, I mean, the Saints being able to reopen that dome, and the revitalization of the city of New Orleans started at this game. It just showed that, yeah, they're back. And it wasn't just the city. The Saints team's back. They were 3-13 last year. Obviously, the whole franchise was known to just be bad and year in and year out laughingstock to some other people. This changed it. This one game, that completely flipped that switch. So to me, that's very interesting there. That's our first storyline. Second storyline is, and we touched upon it earlier, was Brees versus Vic. As much as this game was definitely big for the city of New Orleans and the Saints franchise, Drew Brees, I mean, this is a big game for him. Really coming into it, can he supplant Michael Vick? Michael Vick's the showstopper, the flashy player, the player that was on the cover of Madden a few years ago. He is that quintessential player that, I mean, everyone was trying to emulate him, and he was really the new up-and-coming thing. How was, I mean, basically a reject from San Diego going to come and show up and beat him? And this is the game that's like, I mean, not just this game, but this whole season was like, yeah, he did it. I mean, this just showed, yep, Drew Brees is going to be great with the Saints, and just showed how good of a team Drew Brees and Sean Payton was. But to me, it's really interesting, as you saw kind of a changing of a guard from that really mid-2000s era, or maybe, I mean, like 2003 or 2004, 2003, when Vic took over, even a little earlier, I should say, not just 2003 when Vic was in his prime, but even earlier when Vic took over, until Brees took over, you saw that changing of the guard. I mean, it's not like the Saints weren't, I mean, the Saints before that 3-13 season, they weren't awful, they were really around average, but this just showed that Saints are going to control now. And for the most part, I feel like in this 14-year period with Brees and Sean Payton, the Saints really have controlled the South. I mean, obviously in the last 3 years, they definitely have, but overall, I mean, the Saints have won, I mean, a good amount of South titles. So to me, that's just, it's definitely something to look at there. And just, it showed that Brees basically, and Brees and Payton, just showed that this was obviously a big game for that. I mean, the Falcons coming off these two games, I mean, they were 2-0 against the other two division opponents. Not the same with New Orleans. Just to me, that was a really big storyline. And then lastly is going to be Colston and Horn versus D'Angelo Hall and Webster for the Falcons. I mean, the Falcons were coming in here. They were coming high-flying. They got three turnovers the opposite week. D'Angelo Hall got two interceptions in that last game against the Bucs, and their defense was really able to take control. I mean, you had Keith Brooking, who was also playing really good as well from the linebacker position, Demario Williams, another player for them, and then you had, obviously, you had Jason Webster, D'Angelo Hall, Roderick Coleman as well added a sack in that game. They were playing, their secondary is playing extremely well. How is this new-look Saints offense going to do against it? Colston is playing really good. Can you really trust him as a rookie to really take that next step? And he's going to get those one-on-one options on D'Angelo Hall, who's also a rookie in his own right, but just played so well. Joe Horn, is he going to be able to continue his repertoire with Drew Brees? And it's been very, very good to that point. I mean, Horn had 5 catches, 88 yards in the last game versus Green Bay. So, to me, that's really big. And this is a very big matchup to show that the Saints offense was for real. And again, it's a very big matchup, and two strengths of the teams, in my opinion, are going up against each other. Saints will also have Devin Henderson, Lance Moore, all those guys will be there as well. So those are the storylines for this game that you guys should be looking out for, in my opinion. We all know how this game ends up. I mean, if I was actually looking at this preview, I would think the Saints win, because I just think there is no way the Saints are losing this game. Would I say it was as close? I think it would be a lot more closer. I would say around like a 23-20 type of game that the Saints win, a close one. But you guys know how it all ended up. But hope you guys watch tonight, 8:30 Eastern Time, or 8 Eastern Time, or 7 Central Time. So definitely tune in. I'll be tuning in, live tweeting it as well. I'll be wearing my Marcus Colson jersey, throwing it back a little bit as well. I'm between my old Drew Brees jersey and Colson, but I think I'm going to give it to Colson just because obviously it's a throwback one, so that's going to be very interesting as well. But look out for our 152B episode where we talk about the 2020 Saints. But for now, with all that said, I want to say thank you, run it back, and who dat?